let's go ahead and call to order the April 1st meeting of the Town of Cary Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. First item on the agenda, even though it's not on the agenda, is the swearing in of our new member.
Repeat after me. Aye, and say your name.
Aye, William Moore.
Do solemnly swear that I will support.
Do solemnly swear that I will support.
And maintain the Constitution.
And maintain the Constitution.
And laws of the United States.
And laws of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws.
And the Constitution and laws.
Of North Carolina.
And of North Carolina.
Not inconsistent therewith.
Not inconsistent therewith.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
And I will faithfully discharge.
The duties as a member.
The duties as a member.
Of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
For the Town of Cary Beach.
For the Town of Cary Beach. So help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you can take a seat there with the name. Sorry about that.
Do I get to keep this?
You need to sign it and give it to Jen Seaver. Would you like a copy of it?
No, I just want to ask.
Next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve or any additions or deletions to the agenda?
I got one.
Did you get an agenda?
Not yet.
And we're a member, yeah. Now I'm a member.
I got one.
Thank you, sir.
I'll steal one of yours.
Okay.
Is there a motion to approve the agenda? Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, we've got 2 minutes to approve. Our first one is our regular minutes and of our meeting March 4th, 2015. I want to take a minute and look through that and see if there's any changes to the official minutes for our 7 o'clock meeting on last month. The only thing I have, and it's more of a question, is that there were two speakers last time that offered to assist us if we wanted to do things. And I noticed that Luke Waddell is one that offered. And who was the other person that offered to assist us if we wanted to? Okay, yeah,
The lady from the view, wasn't it?
It was you.
Oh, it was you? Oh, okay. All right. All right. That was the only thing, because in case we talk about that, we need to identify. Is there a motion to approve the minutes, or is there a motion to add, delete anything from the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Minutes are approved. Our second item under number 3 is the approval of the closed session minutes. Everybody should have received a sealed copy of the minutes here and should read the minutes. Is there a motion to approve or amend the minutes from our closed session on March 4th, 2015?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, is there any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right. One abstain, so we got 4. Okay, and we're supposed to seal these back up again, and we don't have to keep them.
Okay, it's got to have a face.
She's got a question.
show. Next item is public comments. Any? That's you. You're on. Okay.
I just really, Heather Darnold with Base, I had a question on the closed session. Like, what was it? Why did you go into closed session during the last meeting? And with the minutes, or where are the minutes?
Okay. You know, maybe it was on recommendation of the P&Z Commission attorney. Maybe you can go ahead and explain why we did it, and then I'll go ahead and answer your second question.
Thank you.
The open meetings, PZC is a public body. Public body meetings are governed by a group of statutes called the North Carolina Open Meetings Law. And the open meetings law contains 6 exceptions for going into what people call executive or closed sessions. They range from acquisition of real property to what was done in this case, which is to consult with an attorney in private. Because under the law, what an attorney and a client tell each other are privileged. PCC is my client. So we use that closed session to discuss some of the issues with respect to the vacation home rental options that we were going to go forward with. Now, the minutes of the closed session, by statute, remain confidential because to open them up to the public would defeat the very purpose of the closed session. They're meant to be maintained, not destroyed. And they may be open at a later time due to board action. But until such time, by statute, they remain closed to public view. Now, if you were here for the remainder of the meeting.
Yeah, that's what I was going to have as a second part of your question. What do they contain? After we came back from the closed session, we asked the attorney to summarize what was said in the closed session. And there was a very long summary about all the issues. And so from my own personal perspective, what was heard in public summarizing the closed session is certainly more detailed than what the closed session minutes have right here. So if you were here for that session, you heard what was said in the closed session, basically.
And they're in the minutes.
And those are in the official minutes. So the summary of what the P&Z attorney summarized as being in closed session are in the regular minutes, and they are detailed.
They also will be on our website.
Right, because it's recorded too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Do you know when they'll be on the website?
That I don't know. Do you know?
What's that?
When they would be on the website?
Oh, probably, I would say in about a week. Nancy Hewitt, our assistant town clerk, will usually put them on the website. I'm just not sure how long it'll take.
You just approved these.
Yeah, we just approved these. What's in the minutes, the written minutes, but we also record this, and so the recording is what
mm-hmm.
you're talking about.
Yeah.
Need a copy of this?
All right, any further public comments? Okay, we're going to close the public comment session. That brings us to old business. The first item on the agenda for under old business is parking on Highway 421 discussion. And, again, follow up with presentation of information to the council. Last meeting when we had a discussion of this, and again, we held over the past couple months, we've, had a couple sessions, both as part of our P&Z Commission meetings as well as a public hearing regarding this. And that, to remind everybody on council or the commission that it was the recommendation of the commission that I go back to the council and provide a summary of where we were at, basically say that turn it back to the council in terms of what the council wants done. If they want us to continue working on this, if they want to form a separate committee, give it to SLAP or whatever they want to do. So that's what I actually presented to the council at the last council meeting, and they took that information to do anything with it. You didn't do anything with it at this particular time. So that's where we're at in the Highway 421. So essentially it's been passed back to the council until the council directs us or somebody to do something more with that. That's kind of where we stand right now. And again, I articulated the sort of things that we had talked about and we had found in terms of our ability to actually define parking issues on 421, and the state was okay with that in terms of what we found in terms of the lack of really any sort of regulations regarding parking on most of our residential streets. And I kind of summarized some of the public hearing issues related to that. If we, major concern is that if we limit parking in certain areas of 421, that would probably push the parking issue back to some of the residential areas. And so kind of wanted to reiterate that sort of thing and then give it back to the council. So as of right now, it's been passed back to the council. We really have nothing more to do with this until we're directed by the council. Craig, when you want to summarize it, or did that summarize it yourself?
No, I think that does summarize it. You get back to us in the last meeting, and during that period of time, of course, we haven't had a chance to talk about it publicly. Or So at this point in time, it's with us. Never for the direction.
Okay, is there any further discussion on agenda item 7A, parking on Highway 421? I know we had a couple other members that were there. Do you want to add anything? Okay. All right. Second item is a vacation rental. Obviously, last time we had a public hearing on that. We also had a discussion, and we tabled that particular item until today. So I guess we are discussing the vacation rental issue. I'm sure a lot of people have had some thoughts about this over the last month. Maybe the best thing to do is just kind of start at the end and have kind of a summary and maybe some ideas before we get into a formal motion or what we want to do, just kind of summarize the public hearing, our discussions, the attorney's insight in terms of some of the issue, and just go ahead like that. So, Alan, you want to start? I was talking about, you know, an opportunity to kind of summarize, and then we'll figure out what we want to do formally.
I guess I think the best thing that came out of the whole thing is that we had some people step up and want to address some of these issues. I personally don't think that it's going to go any further than what we've already done. I think we should, you know, reach out to the couple of people that wanted to address it. And, you know, maybe we've got ordinances in place, and we have, I think we have enough. Ability to handle some of these issues, especially parking. I don't think you're ever going to handle all the crowding because no one's going to deliver the content to the house. But there's just a lot of things that you have to put a lot of trust in the management company. And I think that I think most of them are reputable, and I think most of them want to work with the town and come up with a solution. So.
Okay. Bill, you were there. Actually, I think you presented. A member of the commission at that particular time, so
yeah, I think there. My concerns still exist because since I haven't seen a final copy of what they go forward, it's very broad when you start talking about rules to apply to condos. You know, for example, when you start saying the town has the right to come in and say your decks aren't safe or your roof isn't right, and you can't rent when the owner's not responsible for that. You're in a condo operation, you belong to the association. So there's a nebulous area there that needs to be addressed before that goes further. So I have some concerns about written vote. I would say it's coincidentally when we were talking last time, and someone asked, have you got any proof of the police coming down and getting involved? Well, we had two or three incidents within the week at that time where the police had to come down to us and deal with some owners or some renters that were out of control. So.
My summary is that when we started this idea of a permitting process, we were directed by the council to push forward on this with the idea of trying to make it as simple and less onerous as possible. At that particular time, I don't think anybody realized that there were certain limitations in the state statutes regarding this. And so a lot of the comments and discussion had to come with pointing out over the weeks you know, regarding the limitations about a permitting process here. You know, certainly permitting is very, very common throughout most of the states in the United States regarding short-term rentals. My general feeling right now is that based upon the insights of the town or the P&Z attorney, that there are some options. I'm not sure if we're at a point in terms of the problem where we need to start thinking about pushing forward on the permitting process. I do think that there are a few issues that we can deal with, that we can deal with more directed ordinances. And the three that I, in terms of researching this and discussions, the three that I think are very important. One, I'm very surprised that the agencies do not submit their room taxes based upon a per property basis. There's absolutely no way, no possible way that you can track individual properties paying room tax to the county. So I would certainly recommend that we develop an ordinance saying that if you're going to be a short-term rental in this town, that whether you're an individual or you're using a agency, that the agency simply identify, open a file, and identify the room taxes that are paid by property. As of right now, an agency might have 100 properties, and they simply all lump it together. And I would assume, quite frankly, I teach budgeting and accounting, and I would assume that the individual property owners probably don't know that there is no way they can track if their room tax has actually been paid. If an individual property owner would go to the rental agency and say that, prove to me that my room tax actually was paid to the county, that cannot be done as of right now. The rental agency might be able to show an Excel sheet or an accounting sheet and say, yes, I paid it, but the fact that it was lumped together and that it was all paid as a lump in the town of Curie Beach by a particular room agency, that cannot be tracked. And after having talked to folks in Charlotte and things like that, I would strongly recommend, I think, that an ordinance is passed simply stating that if you're going to rent, do a short-term rental here in town of Curie Beach, that the payment of the room tax, whether it's by the individual or whether it's by the agency, is identified by property to the county. It's a trivial sort of thing. It should be very, very easy to do, and I think it would solve a lot of problems. I think the major problem is parking. I think that maybe we should have a directed ordinance dealing with a parking issue. And then the third thing, and this is not really an ordinance, but there's already existing in the state statutes regarding when permitting is allowed, and that's, I believe, when there's the worst 15% based upon the identification of information. I think that we should have a more formalized way of keeping track of this information about complaints and these sort of things, so that if we do end up with a problem, we can actually identify which are the worst 15% offenders for these sort of things. So, I certainly wouldn't recommend pushing forward the permitting process that we had originally. But I think we can deal with the major issues in terms of directed ordinances.
Well, I admit that I did learn some things that night from many of the speakers regarding what's already on the books, some of the North Carolina realty forms that are used in. One thing that struck me, maybe that's the wrong terminology, almost to the person, the people that were renters, not renting new, but they rented out their places, either condos or apartment complexes or just a single house. Almost all of those folks that spoke said, I have rules in place and have never had a problem. Nobody's getting out of control. Well, that's great for those that spoke, but you know there are complaints. Police are called to different places on occasion. Trash piles up around the house, through the cars, parking, as Greg said. I did think it was interesting that those that spoke do not want any more paperwork done or more people in their house because they're not having problems. But there are some problems in this regard.
I agree with Alan. I don't think we'll go much further. Just enforcement's out there, and hopefully the rental management companies will has to have a little bit wider eyes on what's going on in some of the problem areas.
Okay. I guess we're at a point where we can, you know, make motions. Again, probably what I feel strongest about in terms of what came out of the whole thing is just simply requiring people to identify the taxes that are paid by property. I personally think when you look at the application, the form, it's required on the form anyway. But, you know.
Chairman, I wanted to remind the commission of some points that came out of my discussion with the tax administrator of the county. And those comments, and in conjunction with the statute, the collecting agency draws up the form. And what we've got in this case is an interpretation of the form that doesn't account for it the way that you want. It may be, you could take a directed ordinance support approach. It may also be the result of an interlocal agreement with the county that provides for exactly what you're looking for. So there's two ways to go about that problem.
I look very carefully at the form. I have to say, I don't think there's any interpretation issue. I think they're lazy. I think that's the bottom line. The form clearly says the property. It identifies and says what property is this to be.
So the ordinance would trigger.
It would trigger that people that do short-term rentals have to make sure that there is an account set up for that particular property with the county, which is, I believe, what is required anyway. But they haven't been doing it. All they've been doing is they simply, there's a box further down on that form that says Curie Beach, and that's all they're doing. They're just checking the box, but they're not filling out the actual property that tax is paid with.
So the ordinance would leverage the information that you think is already required?
I think it's already required on form, personally. And I think it's a very simple thing, and personally, I don't think a lot of people realize that the way that it's done right now, one, you cannot identify which properties are paying the tax, first of all. It cannot be done. The second thing, you find out which agencies are paying the tax, but you don't know whether the amount that they collect are actually what's being paid. There's no way you can trace that information. In addition, you cannot identify, and again, this is what most of the cities in North Carolina are concerned about, the way that it's done right now by paying in a lump sum for Curie Beach is that there's no way for a city official could identify that somebody is renting a property and actually see if they're paying it. You can't do it. So I think it's a very, very simple thing to write an ordinance or to have some sort of a, again, I don't even know if an ordinance is required because it's actually on the form, but some mechanism by which individual properties have to have their own separate account over at the county and that the taxes that are paid on a particular property fall into that particular account. If the agencies are doing their job, it's very simple for them to do it because they've already identified in their accounting because they got to provide that information back to the property owners. So it's a very, very simple thing, and it will solve a huge thing. And I believe that it would help tremendously the town collect additional taxes.
Where would this ordinance fall into what chapter?
I'm not sure where.
Can't answer that off the top of my head. But
then why are we talking about it?
Well, I think there's
Can't we just turn this over to the town and put it in the finance director's lap and tell them that they need to be contacting the... I find it hard to believe. I honestly don't believe that if you were to talk to the major management companies on this island, that if you went to them and asked them such and such an address and named out the addresses that they managed in those properties, that they can give you an accounting of how much tax they paid. They may lump it in one sum and pay it to the county, but they have to have a record of it. And it has to be per property. That owner has to be able to go to that management company and find out how much they paid for accounting purposes and all that.
But if there's an audit done, they cannot, it wouldn't pass an audit because, yes, you're right, that they have an Excel sheet or they have something like that, the taxes that have been collected, because they collect the taxes. Okay, but if I'm a property owner, okay, and I go and say, prove to me, That has been paid. They cannot do it. They cannot do it unless
you're
it's a separate.
You're saying that management company can't come to
they
cannot prove that they paid.
They cannot. I will guarantee you that they cannot do it because then they cannot, because they pay in a lump sum, So let's say they collect, you know, you've got five properties each paying $100, so they collect $500, okay? And let's say then they turn around and pay $300 as a lump sum. And if I'm a property owner and say, you know, prove to me that my $100 has been paid, they cannot do it because all they can do is show that there's a lump sum that's been paid by that property management company. It will not pass an audit, I will guarantee you. It cannot pass an audit. In addition, there's no possible way that you can identify properties that are renting, not using a management company, that are not paying. Because when you run the list of, quote, properties that are paying in the town, okay, there's only 47 of them, by the way. There's only 47 that are in the system, but we have hundreds of properties here. Because some management companies are paying as a lump sum, it's the management company's address that's in the account. So if there's somebody down the way that's renting a property that is not paying the root tax, let's say not to a management company, because there's a lot that aren't using management companies, that you cannot identify the properties that are renting with the accounts that are at the place. I agree, it's not a planning and zoning issue, and maybe the recommendation is to take the information that we're talking about right now, turn it back to the council. It's more of a council thing or a finance thing or a legal thing, and not so much a P&Z issue. But the biggest thing that has come out of this as I investigated it is the lack of financial auditability related to the root tax.
I don't disagree with the fact that it's just stuff falling through the cracks, but I guess my big issue is this commission and our resources have spent time on talking about collecting ROT tax, and you know, how much has it cost the town so far with our attorney, and we're in an area where we may not even be, this may not be sent back to us. The town can handle it. So I agree, I think we should send a motion to the, with the information that we have, give it to the town council and let them give it to whoever is appropriate.
I mean, I certainly don't have a problem. I don't think it's the purview of P&Z to write the ordinance related to the collection of taxes. I absolutely agree, but I think that needs to be passed on as a recommendation to the council to address that particular issue. Maybe, Craig, you can give some insight to the council.
The only point that I would make is you could establish an account. You could identify the address. Even if you couldn't verify the address and verify that it was rented or that they paid, you couldn't verify that they paid every time they rented because there's no way to tell every time they rent.
That's absolutely.
Therefore, what this may not have anything to do with the ordinances. It may, in fact, be a resolution from Beach Towns to the county saying, button this up.
I mean, it may be that, because so I think the form already has the information. I think it's just a matter of making sure that the county tell everybody that, you know, there's got to be an account. It's just simply a computer account.
The town is not in enforcement of this. Right? The town does not enforce the ROT.
No.
That is enforced at the county. So I can understand. I agree with you on the point that you passing an ordinance, maybe give it back to us and we have to determine how we want to take this. So we can talk to the Beach Towns and see how we like to approach maybe the county commissioners with this, with the information that you found. I mean, with the permit fees taken away from the municipalities, with the potential redistribution of sales tax, we need to make sure that the laws that are on the books for us for revenue streams are in fact, you know, worked to the best of the ability as the law intended so that all of the citizens benefit. So there's work to be done here based on not only on the input from the realtors and the agencies, but there's work to be done here, I think, potentially at the county level on how do we enforce and how do we maintain the ROT structure that we have. Frankly, you can't just, what is it, good luck right now that you get any?
What I'm suggesting is really what should have been done in the first place, given what's already existing. Because, and I talked to the person who's responsible for this, who actually sits at the computer, And there's a form, and you're familiar with the form. There's a form that identifies the property, et cetera, and then whether it's Curie Beach, Carolina Beach, or whatever. And I think over time, people have gotten lazy with the form, quite frankly. And the rental agencies, if they have 50 properties, what they do is they file one form for all 50 properties. And rather than identifying each individual property or having a separate form for each individual property, they put their address on it, and then they check Curie Beach and say, we're putting in $20,000 for Curie Beach. Okay, that's how it happens. Now, that means that if I'm a property, I cannot track if my money was actually paid into that $20,000. That's the first issue. And so there's potential for fraud. I mean, there's clearly a potential for fraud, and this has been communicated to me. The second thing is that because of that, and this is many of the other beach communities and Charlotte and places like that have a problem that they know internally that a particular property is being rented. Okay, without requiring the individual properties having an account, there's no way you can identify, you know, go to the accounting aspect and see if that property is actually paying, because it's not a one-to-one relationship. You know that that property may not be have an account, but you don't know if that property is being paid through some sort of agency's account identified with another property. So to me, it's a very, very simple thing that I think would solve a huge problem. And the huge problem is, I think, one of audit responsibility. And the second thing is that it then would allow a checking to see if somebody is actually renting a property that you know is being posted on one of the websites. You know, there are a lot of websites, and you can then track that property on the website with whether they have actually have an account established with the county. I think personally the form already requires that. I just think people have been lazy over time. That's my own personal opinion. But I think there's substantial amounts of money at stake. And that would be my concern. I agree. I don't think that's the purview of P&C to write that ordinance or to deal with that. But I think it's one of the things that going through the whole process, I saw as a big, big red flag during this whole process. And I think it's something that the town ought to simply address.
When we first came to the island, had the house being built, and our plan was to rent it occasionally to recoup some of the funds. And I talked to one of the realty agencies about them being in charge of that and how that would work. And it was basically a percentage. Now, I never signed any papers with them because we outfitted the house, we furnished the house, we came down the first couple of weeks after we signed the papers, and we called the rental guy and said, can't do it, just can't let somebody else in my house. And that was 9 months later. But my question is, do we know whether or not, had I signed that sheet of paper, unless just for a number, say I was going to rent for $3,000, would the rental company have this piece of paper saying every week that it rented, we get 20%, or they get 20% plus the ROT off of that $3,000? Or is it just 20% and then they pay the ROT so that, no, I don't even know that I'm paying ROT. I just know I'm giving the rental company money. And I don't know if the spreadsheet that they keep has a breakdown of that, because occasionally they hire maids to come clean your place. And all I know is I was going to give them some money. But I don't know what the details of those funds were. And I don't know if that's in a contract or not.
I'm sure the spreadsheet that the rental company gives you has the information. That's not the issue. I mean, a good rental company is going to keep, because, you know, you've got to write off your taxes and do all these sort of things. So they're going to provide you that information. The problem is that what happens when they collect the money? That, what's been collected under contract with you cannot be traced to actually depositing in the county as of right now. It cannot be done. I guarantee you it cannot be done. In addition, I don't think the problem is the rental company properties. I think the problem is primarily the non-rental company properties. But by not identifying every single property that's renting, there's a lot of properties out there that have rental property signs that are do not have an account with the county. Guarantee you they don't. So it's difficult then to say that, to be able to track and go to a website. And this is how the towns try to enforce the ROD. They go to the website, they look at the properties that are being advertised on the websites, and then they go to the county and find out if there's an account, there's an account that coincides with that particular property. And if there is, you're absolutely right. You can't track to see how much money, but at least there's an account, you know, associated with it, and you can see how much is in the account. By the way, how much is in the account is private information under statute. The only people that can look at that are town officials, so that's not public information. But at least somebody in the town, the finance officer, could then identify whether that rental property, everybody knows is being rented every single week for $5,000, is paying taxes. You can see, if you're the internal finance person, what the taxes are if it's set up by individual properties. But again, I agree with Alan. It's not a P&Z.
I make a motion that we send all the information from the ROP staff that we discovered and send it back to council.
And I'll second that. And I'll be glad to go to the council and explain these okay. these issues.
Thank you.
I have a question. Is there
any
kind of registration for somebody to rent their house out?
No.
Why isn't there?
Well, that technically would be a
permit. Like a permit, yeah, just something in town.
Yeah, it's.
I'm going to rent my house out.
It was a privilege license.
We had a privilege license, but the privilege license has been done away with. So technically, you needed a privilege license, which is a registration process. Now that's gone, so there is really nothing. I don't think that's
no
a registration with the town at all, other than the potential for registering for paying the room tax.
When we rented one side of our house out, we purposely went with a real estate agent just so that the paperwork and the taxes were being paid properly.
Right.
And that was the whole reason we went with it. We could have done better without them at a whole lot of higher price, but it was worth it to us to pay their fees so that make sure that it was all done right.
Do you know if your taxes have actually been paid?
Yes.
How do you know?
Because we don't rent it anymore, but I was constantly on them about how much has been paid to the county and how much has been paid to Fury Beach.
They're telling you that, but could you go to the county and identify if those taxes that were associated with your property are actually being deposited to the county?
Probably not.
You could not.
Because like you said, it's just a lump sum payment for them.
Anyway, there's been a motion. I'll second the motion. Is there further discussion on the motion regarding the tax issue? Okay, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The second thing, I think the only thing that we could possibly address with an ordinance is the parking issue, since that is kind of the primary issue that started this whole discussion in the first place. What is the general feeling about any other issues related to the permitting process? The other thing I suggest is better data keeping. I don't think that's something that P&Z is responsible. Again, I think that could be communicated back to the council that they need to do a better job keeping track of complaints associated with the different properties. There's already a mechanism in state statutes regarding if you have an offender that you actually can set up a permitting process if the offender is in the top 15% of the offenses, but you got to be able to show that. And I don't think we keep the records. So again, that's not an ordinance issue. So is there any...
Just as a point of clarification, there is a police report filed each month with the as part of the consent agenda.
Right. I have a question. Is there also one for code enforcement?
Not related to this.
No, not related to that. Fire and police.
Again, I could make a, you know, we could make a motion and see what that is as to I could communicate to the council the data collection issue. I don't think it's an ordinance, but I could communicate that as a second issue and identify that there's already within the state statutes under the permitting discussion the right to have a permit for the worst 15% violators, but we have to collect the proper data. And the general feeling is we don't really collect that data yet. And I could communicate that to the council too without a, if that's what the.
So we're saying we're going to do nothing?
Well, it's.
There's a motion on the floor first.
No, we voted.
We voted on the first one. I'll go ahead and make a motion just so we can discuss it. That similar to the previous motion, that the commission directs the chair at the next meeting to present the issue of proper data collection and identify that there's already existing state statutes that will allow permitting for the worst 15% violators, but we need a better job in terms of collecting the data to identify who the violators are. And then let the council address that with the commission. Is there a second to that motion?
What's going to be considered a violation?
That's a poor council decide. And there's actually language in the state statute regarding that.
I was going to, Mr. Chairman, if I may, the permitting statute, or the anti-permitting statute that caused so much of a ruckus last time, does have very detailed exceptions that allow you to require permitting for the worst offenders. I don't have that statute with me, but it's black and white. It's like a cookbook recipe.
But we don't collect that data, so we can't. There's nothing we can do under that particular statute, you know, unless we collect the data. And so what my motion would be is I would go to the council, express that there's already a permitting process that's allowed, but it requires collecting a certain amount of data regarding the offenses. I'll identify what those are, and then it's up to the council to decide what to do.
So you've made the motion, correct?
Right. And second. Was it seconded?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a second?
Oh, I'll second. So we can discuss it.
Further discussion, this is simply a motion to, again, provide the information to the council.
This is being done even though we're awaiting the council to come back and give us answers on what they're permitting or what they're looking for in a policy for parking. You know, that's not the question I'm asking, because I understand we've already asked the council to clarify parking. And now we're coming back and saying, before you tell us what we're doing, we have another clarification.
Well, the first one was parking on 421. That was specifically the 421 issue.
My understanding, Craig, apologize for interrupting, is that when you talk about presenting the issue of data collection on bad offenders, that's being, they're identified as bad because trash, parking, noise, not paying, or is it just one of those? Or
what I would do is I would go to the council and say one of the major things that came out of the public hearing is show us the data. Okay, we've heard that several times. Show us the data, give us the data, and stuff like that. We heard that there is some data being collected. It's not only police data, but there's code violation data, parking data, trash data, and a number of things like this that there's already existing under state statute, the anti-permitting component of the state statute, an opportunity, if we identify and keep track of violations, that the worst offenders can, we could set up a permitting process under existing state statutes for the worst offenders. And so I would just present that to the council and say that we don't really have a mechanism in place internally to the town to collect the data that would be necessary to do that. Again, it's not an ordinance. It's simply going back and kind of communicating to the council what we found out of the public hearing. And
you'll provide them with a copy of that statute?
Yes. And I would do that. So that's the motion. It's not to create an ordinance, but simply go back. And again, this third concern is the issue of the parking, which I think addresses more the parking issue. So this is simply to communicate collecting the right data so we know what the situation really is. And if there are bad offenders, then there's already existing under state statute something that could be done with the bad offenders. Is there further discussion on that? Again, this motion is simply to reiterate to the council the issues.
Is since trash is one of those offenses that people talk about, what's the, who is in charge of changing the trash pickup policy? And as you think about that, we have trash on 421 on Mondays, and I think the established, like the restaurants and places. Then we have it back, at least in my neighborhood, on Tuesday. But the people that rent in my neighborhood leave on Saturday. You rent a house, pretty much Saturday's the changeup. So all the bins go out on Saturday morning because folks leave town. And they sit out there until Tuesday afternoon when the recycle and the trash are picked up around my neighborhood. And on 421, if they're put out on Saturday, it offends me because I'm a huge biker. And they push those things right out the bike lane, and they sit there until Monday afternoon. So most of Saturday, all day Sunday, and we're in the business of tourism. When do people start coming down again? On Saturdays and Sundays. And what do they see as they drive into this community? All these trash cans. I don't know who makes those decisions. I don't know if we can get that changed. I don't think it's a P&Z issue necessarily. But maybe I'll just go to the council myself as a concerned citizen, talk about changing it, yeah, trash collection, because I think we could do that differently. And if you put it out on Wednesday and had it collected on Thursday and it's done.
Yeah, if we can time our stoplights. I guess we only have one, so we have time issue. If we can time our stoplights, we've got to be a time for garbage collection.
If you put it out on Saturday, the folks that come in on Saturday, folks that left, put it out. The folks that come in, they get their stuff put in, their bedding and, you know, kids' toys and all that kind of stuff. Where's their first stop? Food line. Because they're stocking up. So they take the beer case off, and and the trash bin's already sitting up like that because there's stuff in there. The animals are getting in it, and they're trying to shove more into it because it's supposed to be picked up on Monday. Yes, sir.
John, I like your idea, and I think I would have a question as a citizen that on 421, which is a two-lane street, do I really want the town trash trucks going down there on Saturday morning early?
Point of order, don't we have a motion on the table?
Yeah.
And I wanted to clarify something. You cannot require a permit unless in a 12-month period, the property is identified within the top percent of properties with crime or disorder problems as set forth in a local ordinance. So that's what you're referring to.
Right, right. So what I would do is, based upon the motion, I would communicate the language to the council regarding that. The council could put together an ordinance if they want. They could simply collect the data, but I think without going through some of the options of pushing the issue of permitting that we talked about last time, I certainly don't think Curie Beach is at the point of doing that. That I think the data collection as per under the existing state statutes is something that could be done.
Yeah.
But we're just not collecting that data yet. And again, it sounds to me like your reading of that is that there would need to be a town ordinance as to what constitutes disorder.
Crime or disorder,
whether they want to include garbage complaints or things like that.
And that would be part of your recommendation to council.
Right. All right, so any further discussion on the motion to communicate these issues to the town council? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The last issue is the parking issue. That's what really started this whole process at the very beginning. The idea of permitting and, you know, crowding and parking and things like that. We were, of course, asked by the council to look at 421. You know, that's back in the council's lap. Before there's any motion, any discussion or ideas about how to address the parking issue related to the short-term rentals? Or if it's even something we just want to table now?
I'm not even sure the parking issue is over short-term rentals. I think it's more the day visitors. You know, I really think your problem is those people that come in after the day and they're parking on the road. There's
And maybe they have an extra person here and there that goes in the car. But your issue is on 421 and other places, the people come down for the day. Just park their car all the way to the ocean and come back.
The issues that we've talked about, there are a few properties that are basically small hotels, if you will. They have 20 rooms and they bring in 20 people. There are a few properties that do have parking problems. So they might have a driveway with only six spaces and there's 20 cars. There are a few that are out there, and I think those are the ones that, and I think you're aware of a couple of them. So
I contacted the owner, said put a little bit of parking time, it's all good. I handle that myself.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a parking issue. Is it a planning issue? I mean, we could certainly recommend an ordinance. John, I mean, you deal with it. I mean, do you have any insight about how you would recommend, as kind of the staff associated with this commission, how you would see the best way of addressing, in the cases where there are a few of these large properties bring down 20 people and have a parking issue, the best way of addressing those? Because you actually are familiar with the enforcement issues related to parking.
Well, as I was saying before, I think just the fact that we brought forth these issues in the form of ordinance has kind of been a wake-up call for a lot of the real estate companies. I'm already seeing some proactive work on their part to put something like that into their contracts that specifies how much parking is available and that they shouldn't be bringing any more cars than they have parking available when they rent that house. We might have a much better situation this year just based on the last couple of months and what's gone on. I don't know yet. Hard thing to enforce. You know, I think it ought to be in the hands of the property owners and the real estate professionals. You know, you've got so much parking that you have available for your renters. Why not specify you can't have any more parking than that?
Except if I could put it again, the issues that were coming out were people, some of the HOAs were here talking about the fact people were parking on public areas there and they had problems with it. I know of 1421 with Ocean Dunes. We have some public access, which is fine. There's public parking with lots right across the street from them, and they don't use them. They go right to the street. And I've sent pictures to prove it.
So but there's ordinances that cover.
I mean, that's the 421 parking, and the issues you're talking about are a little bit different, I think, than the.
Well, they're separate, but they're all.
But they're all together.
So I think we really need to wait on council to tell us what their philosophy is on parking and where we're looking to go in the future.
And
right now, we really don't know.
This is a good example of the motion that we just made, is that if the council wants us to track parking violations, I think you're right. I think there's been a wake-up call. I think you're going to see more aggressive behavior, but there still might be some violators. And
sure.
The fact is that the council, you know, may want us to track parking issues, because there still might be a few maybe not as many now, but there still might be some. But you know, so your recommendation is just let's see what happens, but maybe track the issues a little bit better.
And let council tell us where they want us to go with the park.
The broad parking issue.
But you can legally, you can cheat on parking if I've got 12 rooms and advertise it that way and six parking spots. People can bring aunts and uncles with them and just say, hey, well, they got to drive three of these cars down the road to park them. Bring the folks back. I mean, you can't park on the grass, you can't park out in the street. So if you're at a place that only provides six spots, but 12 cars came down to be part of that, you can get around that if you're creative.
Sure.
And we can't enforce it because we don't know.
That's a hard thing to track.
Right.
It's just like we have parking regulations related to the size of the residence and how many bedrooms they have. Well, I can enforce those all day long. We can make them even more strict if we want to, but that doesn't prohibit people from putting two or three bunk beds in each room and advertising it for more people.
I understand.
It's just.
But if they
get any overnight parking allowed anywhere?
Town ordinance prohibits overnight parking in town parking lots.
Town parking lots.
Is that at the up here?
What?
Town parking, like overnight? We've had, the neighbors next door are notorious for 30 or 40 cars, and it's only a six-bedroom house, duplex with another six-bedroom. And it's notorious. We had as many as 75 people.
Just for the record, this is very important. I want to hear exactly what you say in terms of these numbers, but what would be good is maybe for you to come up and identify yourself and then say exactly what you were saying, because this is what needs to be in the record.
And your address.
Yes.
I'm Kathy Agnor, and I'm 414 South Fort Fisher. We've owned the house for 20 years. Our problem is that the big house to the south of us is a rental property. The owner is very cooperative and has been when we've confronted him about issues that have happened. We've had a lot of problems with the realtor company. And we'll have time. We had a group in there this weekend that I'll bet there were 30 cars coming down the street that they had parked. We've had times where we've had people say in the house that have come over to my husband and I and asked us when we were getting out of our driveway so that they could come and park in our driveway. No, I'm not kidding. And with a lot of times, if we've got extra space, we'll allow them to use part of our driveway and to overflow if they've got one or two cars. But
charge
them. Pardon? No. But most of them, when you see there's a lot of cars, we try to approach them and say, listen, you're only supposed to have so many cars in here because you can't get in and out, and we can't get in and out, and it's a safety issue for anybody trying to walk or ride their bikes up and down this street. And one of the things that we've done is we've said, if you don't know where you can park them, come up here to the town hall and ask the police department where you can leave them, where you leave your car. And that's what we've always done, said, refer them up here, and I hate to say it, but dump it on the police department to find a place for them to stay, to leave their cars. But we have seen as many as 70 and 75 people in that two-part duplex. And the first year that group came, they left the place immaculate. Cleaning people came in and said it was brand new. Second year they came in, they totally destroyed it. And I mean, they totally destroyed that house. And yeah, that's the issues that we have to deal with. And y'all heard all the noise complaints. But where do we go to complain? When I call the realtor, I get hung up on, or I get said something snotty to, or I go in and talk to them, and they go, we'll deal with it, we'll handle it. And then I'm left hanging. What am I supposed to do? We had a group in there last summer that for a wedding, I specifically asked them, please be careful, because they were eating out front with the chicken wings and the pork chop bones and the things like that they were eating. I spent 4 hours with the neighbor picking up bones out of my side yard because I was afraid we have very expensive dogs and I didn't want the dogs getting in on, which they did.
Have you complained? I mean, this is a good example of, again, the motion we just made in terms of the council thinking about how to identify and keep track of these issues. You just identified two issues. One, parking, obviously overflow parking. Second would be 70 people in probably a...
It's slotted for, I think, 22 or 24 people. But they tell us, these are all little kids, so we don't have to count for them.
Right, but then chicken bones, I mean trash and things that would be on the property. Did you go to the town and complain about this? And the question is, did the town then keep a record of that particular property related to the complaint? I doubt if it happened.
No, we didn't make a formal complaint, but we have contacted the officer on duty. He's been a couple times that the officer on duty has driven by, and Bob, they know us, and Bob says, we're having a problem next door, they're way too loud, and we've had times where we put the dogs on the upper deck for fresh air because they're restricted. And we come home and there's 30 beer cans laying on the front deck where the people at the house have been throwing beer cans at the dogs. Now, you throw a beer can at a dog, the dog's going to bark at you. So they throw another beer can at the dog because he's barking. Now, who's at fault? That's the deal. We love this little town. And we do everything we can to keep it as attractive to tourists as we can. But, it's difficult getting our feet stomped on all the time by. And, where do we as the homeowners go to resolve? Do we call the police every time there's an issue? I tried calling the real estate agent, and I bet I've been in there 10 times and gotten nothing from them.
What I would suggest is, I'm sorry you weren't here for the public hearing.
That's
very good information. What I would suggest, again, there's a, it's, I'm going to be going to the council and identifying these issues. I think it'd be very good for you to be at the council meeting, the next council meeting, and as a citizen to describe these issues so the council realizes it's just not me saying these things. Then there's a person with these experiences that can identify exactly the issues that has motivated this whole broad discussion over the last several months.
Yeah, most of the people that come are great. Tourists have a great time and never an issue, but you get one, usually one or two a summer, and
but, you don't but also your response from the agencies when you've called the agencies.
That's my issue, is that the real estate agents just blow it off like it's not their problem. And that's I don't know if there's some accountability that can be reached there. I mean, when we've gone to the homeowner and he's been irate with the realtor, and when he's come down and saw the house, he just flipped out. I mean, like you said, there's nothing in this house. They took the curtains and the bedding off of all the bedspreads out of the house. I mean, that's how they took curtain rods off the wall.
I have a rental property where they actually unscrewed all the lights and took the light.
Yep, that's the way this was. That's the way it was. And like he says, what's his recourse? But, I was just curious, who should we contact? And we do it the right way.
Well, I think if they're throwing beer cans at your dogs on your top deck, then that's definitely a police issue. Okay. I mean, there'd be no question that you should call the police for that. Okay. I mean, if you're being talked to rudely by the management company, then that's a business issue. Maybe that's the Better Business Bureau or something, but I mean, the town really can't do much about
it. Well, the real estate agent says, I'm not from Cary Beach. Is their response to me twice. I don't know what the problem is there. And I say, when you've got 60 or 50 people in the house, I'm supposed to have 20, and it's 4 in the morning, and they're still out on the front porch hooting it up,
Well, so again, 10 on each side. Four in the morning with...
No, I think there's spotted for like 22 on each side of that
22
house.
22 people per side, so 44 total.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I think this is a good example where if the data collection of the offenses is done well, it sounds like this might be one of the top 15% worst offenders, in which case state statutes, and we're not recommending a permit now, but state statutes allow for a permitting process for the worst offenders to address these types of issues. But we're back to the idea of how can you prove without the proper data collection that this is in fact a bad offender. So.
I blame it on the real estate agents because they don't keep tabs on how many people they're putting in the houses. Because, so like they tell us, we put the kids in sleeping bags on the floor, we have 20 adults. And that's the way they answer me. And I say, you're not supposed to have 20 adults plus kids. It's 20 total for the house. And they go, it's not your problem, Mrs. Agnew.
Well, I would certainly suggest that you come to the next council meeting because I'm going to be presenting, as directed by the commission, the issues that you've heard tonight in terms of kind of passing them back to the council with the insights that we have. But I think to have somebody stand up there and identify so people can associate a property, a face, with the issues that we're kind of expressing, I think the council would probably appreciate that. Craig, maybe you can,
Do you need the date of the next council?
21st.
All right, thank you.
Are real estate agencies permitted by the town?
No.
So they can move.
Okay, is there's no motion on the table regarding ordinances, targeted ordinances, parking issues? Does anybody want to make a motion? We've got two motions that have been passed in terms of communicating back to the council information and insights. Is there any other motion that somebody else wants to make? I think parking is an issue for some of the properties, but I think the way to deal with that is we've just got to keep better data and then work within the existing state statutes.
And I also think you can't react to parking as an issue from the town.
Right. So.
Well, we passed a motion regarding data collection, worst offenders, that type of thing. You could expand that to talk about parking.
Right. The council, according to the way that the state statutes are written, the council has to define what constitutes a disorder or violation. Okay, and certainly, parking could be one of them, but that's really up to the council to decide how to do it, and then how that data needs to be collected to identify the worst offenders. So, and I'll communicate that to the council. All right, without hearing any further motions,
Mr. Allen, did you make that motion?
No. I said the two motions that we passed.
Oh, you could have.
One of those talked about. I got parking as another violation, and I got to expand further.
Okay. Are there any further motions related to vacation rentals under old business? Okay, hearing none, go to new business. Is there any new business? I'll just go ahead and say something without identifying a particular property or whatever, but John and I had a conversation about the importance that making sure that there's not a manufacturing operation in a residential community. But, you know, again, I don't want to identify any property or source for that information, but John knows it, so. And we're not talking about illegal, in a sense of illegal manufacturing.
No, meth lab agreement?
Well, I'm making sure that we have a manufacturing operation probably in a residential zoning, and, you know, that's probably not permitted. So.
Is there a definition in the statutes of what manufacturing you take?
We don't even know where the property's at yet.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, it's just, you know, I just want to put it out there, and John and I have talked about it, so, you know, but we don't really have any more information. So.
Can I make cookies in my oven and sell them? You know, package them, mail them, sell them, all that kind of stuff.
If you decide to start baking cookies and sell them out of your house, I'm not going to bother you.
Okay. All right. Anyway, that's something that is just identified. Member items. We've got a few different member items here. Actually, is there any other new business from council, of commission members? Member items, council confirmed the renewal of the 5-year term for Allen. That's good. And again, as we know, that Bill is, how do you want to be called? Bill Williams?
Bill was my Bill.
Okay, all right. Okay. He's now a member. And the council proposed to amend the town ordinance regarding an alternate member position for P&Z. If adopted, the council appoints Ken, who's right there, as the alternate member. I think everybody on the commission got my email suggesting that there may be two different interpretations of what is meant by alternate member, and so the council needs to identify to the town attorney specifically what was meant by the motion regarding alternate. I'm not sure if you were copied on that, Chip.
Yes, I did see it.
Oh, you did? Okay. Thank you. And the feedback I got is, yes, that they need to clarify that, you know, before the new ordinance goes before the council. Any other member items?
Actually, I'd like to add a couple items to the agenda. I'd like to add that we can review the ordinance on the plantings in the town right away. And the other ordinance I think we probably might need to review a little bit is on parking for residential.
Okay. The first one was plantings?
Yeah. Planting in the town right away in front of houses.
Like trees and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the parking ordinance for residential, were those the
reds that we amended that a while back? And
Top Street parking for
all those. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't have to have a formal motion to have things added to the agenda, I don't think, do we? Any other member items? Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay. Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Thank you. Thank you for coming.